Hello, baseball fans. Welcome back to another episode of the Rossi Rhetorical. This is episode 25. I'm not very confident in that. It's been a little bit of time.
Well, I haven't been around for a while, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm concerned. It says 25 on my paper. I don't think that's right. Matt, how are we doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
Good. To let the people know, your nickname this week is Austin, because that's apparently where you're moving to.
Yep. Either late July or early August, potentially.
Okay, so the podcast can go on for a little while longer.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure I can still work it in.
Yeah, well, we are in two separate locations now, so it seems to work. All right, well, it's been a really long time since we've done one of these. I looked, the last one was March 21st. That's like almost a month ago. So we're back. A little bit of personal stuff going on for everybody. We've been traveling and doing a lot of things, so kind of made it hard to record. But we're back now. Should be good moving forward. Probably going to get two episodes this week. One today, and we're going to record one on Sunday. And Sunday should be a good episode. So to make sure you know about those things, make sure to follow the show on iTunes, The Rossi Rhetorical. Just subscribe there, and you'll get all the episodes when they get out. All right, Matt, we got a ton of stuff to get to, and we're kind of behind on some of this stuff, but I still think it's important that we get to it and talk about. And I think we're going to start with Trevor Story, although I don't know if we're going to be able to say something that's totally different from everybody else. But let's talk about the man who is taking the baseball world by storm. He's up to 7 homers in 6 games. Is that right?
Yep.
7 home runs in 6 games. And his batting gloves and helmet are already in Cooperstown.
I think the funniest part is that he's only scored 7 runs.
That is. I mean, he's only hitting.
Nobody else has driven him in yet.
Nope. Because the Rockies lineup isn't that great.
Not after Cargo and Arenado, for sure. Although DJ LeMahieu started off pretty hot.
Yeah, I mean, they're interesting. But Story is the story here. And this is just, for Rockies fans, this must be amazing to have a nice thing go right for a little while and have something to be happy about. And I think this kid's for real. I don't think he's going to hit, you know, like this for the rest of the year. I was talking in the car today with my Rockies roommate, and I said, I don't think he's going to hit 15 home runs all year. I think it's going to slow off quickly, but that doesn't mean he still can't be a good hitter and still driving runs and be a good shortstop. But this is nice for the Rockies, because there's maybe not pressure to rush Brendan Rodgers now.
And, I mean, I don't think they would have rushed Brendan Rodgers at all, just even with or without Story. I mean, Brendan Rodgers was drafted last year out of high school, so he's going to need at least a couple years to work his way through the minor leagues, and that would be a pretty quick trajectory for a high school hitter. But it definitely gives them more options. Now Rodgers could potentially go to second. Story could go to second. I'm sure they've got some other minor league infielders, not to always bring it back to the Giants, but they're kind of going through a similar situation with a prospect with Christian Arroyo, because he's a shortstop, but they don't have any room for him in the entire infield. So I think the Rockies might run into a similar situation.
We're going to get to the Giants later, so I don't know why you had to do that now.
Just always got to throw in some.
It's you always have to get in a reference, whatever story we're talking about. But yeah, it's flexibility. And I think that's really the big key here, is they now have some flexibility in what they can do. I'm not saying this will happen, but it could potentially open up the doors for some trade avenues if Story continues to perform and play well. You know, with more possibilities, it means more. It means you can do more things. It means you can get your team better in different ways. And I think for a Rockies team that is really trying to rebuild, that's nice. It's nice to have options. And his success is attributed to that. He's giving them more options, and it's just fun to watch. I mean, it's fun to see. Every time he gets steps in the box, you wonder what he's going to do next. So it's fun. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it's a nice story, and it's always good to have a nice story to start the year, right?
Oh, yeah. I do think it's kind of funny just how bonkers people have gone. Obviously, it's amazing that a rookie could come in and not only hit a home run in his first major league at bat, but, you know, it's against Zach Greinke. He hit 2 that game. He hit another one off Shelby Miller. Then I can't remember all the pitchers he's taken deep now, but, you know, he's up to 7 in just 6 games. But if this happened in June, obviously people would still be pretty excited, but they wouldn't be jumping out of their shoes calling this guy the next Tulowitzki, because chances are he's not. that's not to say he's a bad player. Tulowitzki's obviously an elite player, and Story has started off his career in a great way, but he's going to come back to earth. It's going to be a really big fall, not because he's a horrible player, but he's not going to have a 243 WRC plus for the entire year.
The Rockies have something here, and as long as they don't screw it up like they, you know, potentially might, they it'll be good. It'll be fun. But it does allow for some baseball fans to have their overreactions. Everyone always overreacts to the first week or two of baseball. I already know Mets fans that are freaking out about the way they're playing, and I don't know. I just try to be as even keeled as I can with it, because there's 162 games for a reason, right? I mean, so
yeah,
we'll see. All it does is it gives us an interesting thing to talk about, and it's a nice story to start the year. And you know, that's what baseball's about. It's about having these nice little interesting stories to talk about. Matt, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but we have to talk about the Giants.
Thank God.
Because, you know, we don't get enough of them on this show already with you. We should talk about them more. Oh, actually, you know what? No, time out. We're gonna pause on this, because I haven't had you on the show since the game came out.
Since the OTP?
I need the OTP review. This was not in the show notes, but let's go.
This is not a condemnation of the game, because there's no way that this is a problem with it, with the game itself. But I've been playing it since, I want to say, OOTP 14 came out. So I've had 15 and 16. Didn't really have any problems. For some reason, when I put it on autoplay, so I go through a week or a month just, you know, with the click of a button, a lot of stuff happens that I have not authorized. For example, last week, Brandon Belt was put on waivers, and every team picked him up, and I didn't have anything to do with it. So he wound up being on the Cincinnati Reds for absolutely nothing. And now Justin Morneau is my everyday first baseman. So I don't know why that happened, because I have all the settings set the way that I thought they should be. But then for some reason, Bobby Evans overstepped his bounds, or Bruce Bochy got mad and just decided to let Belt walk. So I need to tinker with the settings, I guess, more, but I'm really not sure what to do. So, I'm sure the game is just as good as, and probably better than the last 2, 3, 4 have been. They've got MLBPA licensing now. They've got new features. It's a cleaner look. So I'm sure it's fine. And I have clicked or not clicked a setting that I am supposed to. So I will work out the kinks, hopefully. Otherwise, I will just let my free copy sit in the hard drive.
Well, the actual San Francisco Giants are not going to let Brandon Belt go anywhere, in order to segue to our next story, since he signed a 5-year, $79 million contract extension. And Matt, I know you're my Giants expert, so I will have you sort of go into depth on this, but this is really another sign of the Giants just locking up their core and getting themselves ready to build another, I don't want to use the D word, I think it's overused in sports, but to build another powerhouse that can compete year in and year out. They got Crawford locked up. They worked out long-term extensions with, you know, Posey and Bumgarner and all that stuff. So they do this. They lock up these guys. And this is just another sign of them sort of keeping their core intact for the long run.
Yeah, and Belt was always the most curious one of the group, because you weren't sure if the Giants were really gung-ho about locking him up because of all the speculation about Posey having to one day move to first base. So Crawford obviously made tons of sense. Panic will probably get an extension soon. I don't want to say this year, but maybe this offseason, if he proves that the back problems are behind him and the early returns are that he's back to being the potential hitting champion that he was as a rookie, and then the year after when his season was cut short. But and then same for Duffy. He hasn't started off as people had hoped, but
yeah, he's killing my fantasy team.
Yeah, but you know, like you said, it's still the first week. You know, he got matched up against some tough players, or tough pitchers rather, against the Dodgers. So not worrying about Duffy just yet. Obviously, you kind of have that in the back of your mind when a minor leaguer skips AAA and was not heralded, and all of a sudden challenges Chris Bryant for the Rookie of the Year award. You wonder where that came from, but he still got a smooth swing. So the Giants have their infield now through I believe, at least 2020. Obviously, Panic and Duffy aren't locked up, but through team control, they will all be around through 2020. Bumgarner through at least 2019, and I believe there are two team options. And obviously, they're gonna extend him, assuming that he's healthy. So the Giants have a bunch of players around through 2018, if you include Hunter Pence. And none of them are really that. Obviously, Posey and Kane are getting a lot. I think they're each getting over $20 million. But you look at Crawford, Bumgarner, now Belt, even Pence, they're not making above $20 million. They signed for below market contracts to stay with the Giants and to ensure that they'd be around for the long haul. So despite the overwhelming amount of total money committed, they still have financial flexibility during the season, and they showed it this offseason by signing Cueto and Samardzija. So hopefully that's something that they'll be able to do down the road. And you know, Bates wrote about this, and I think it was in his article, he mentioned that, yeah, while Posey might have to move to first base eventually, the contract that Belt has makes him incredibly movable. He's got a partial no trade clause, I think, that covers 10 teams that he can block trades to. But I believe it was a $79 million contract for five years. I saw one figure that had it slightly below that, but whatever it is, it's not a hefty contract at all. And if a team was in need of a first baseman and the Giants needed to jettison Belt in order to get Posey to first base, then that's another thing that they can consider as well. And they'd be able to get quite a package back for a controllable first baseman who's not making crazy amounts of money.
And I think the word here, and we used it before, is flexibility. And that's what this does. It gives them financial flexibility. By doing this and signing these guys to extensions now before they get to their big free agent years, it gives the Giants more money to be able to plug in the holes. And like Matt said, they did that this year by getting Samardzija, by getting Cueto, because they had their big core guys locked up. They had that extra money that they didn't have to use on those resources, and they were able to push them elsewhere and get these two guys that helped them put together a very good rotation for this year. So, you know, more teams are starting to do this. We're starting to see sort of a shift in baseball where guys are starting to get more locked up before they hit those free agent years, and their couple of their arbitration years are getting bought out. And there is a growing trend in that direction toward where guys are doing that. And there are still guys that are probably never going to reach that, like Bryce Harper. He's going to go to free agency and make a lot of money. There's always, you know, guys that are still going to test free agency and make a lot of money. But we're starting to see a shift where homegrown guys, young guys are getting locked up now to give the teams financial flexibility in the future. The Pirates just did it with Gregory Polanco. There is a downside to this. Some guys leave a little money on the table, but they do get some sort of long-term security when they do it this way that combats potentially, you know, a bad year or an injury or something like that. So there's risks on both sides. But we're starting to see baseball shift more towards these type of contracts being handed out. So let's talk about some not so fun stuff, Matt. We have three major injuries. Which one should we start with?
Why don't we start with the at least my least favorite, the trade of or sorry not trade the Schwarber trade.
I was like, he got traded.
I just looked at a message about a trade I just made in fantasy baseball, and that word got blurted out. But why don't we start with Schwarber? Get it out of the way.
All right. Yeah, it is sad. And that is because, as most of you probably already know at this point, Kyle Schwarber is going to be out for the year with a full ACL and LCL tear.
Severe ankle sprain.
And a severe ankle sprain. Thank you, Dr. Goldman. And the Cubs lose one of their more powerful hitters, one of their big hitters in their lineup. And it looked like he was going to break out more so than did last year when he broke out as one of the best rookies in the National League. You know, this hurts the Cubs. It takes a huge bat out of the lineup, but man, are they happy that they didn't trade Jorge Soler. I mean, that's huge that they have him around, that they can plug him in, and they brought Dexter Fowler back. They have Ben Zobrist. You could even talk about Chris Bryant going to the outfield. So, while this hurts, it's a big loss. The Cubs have this is the theme of the show, the flexibility in terms of a bunch of players that can go to different positions that they should be able to weather this storm. And, you know, you don't want an injury to happen like this, but because it happened so early in the year, they should be able to, by the time the season's over, have a sort of formula and lineup where everybody's comfortable.
Yeah, and you know, you look at all these teams, and if any team can deal with the loss of a Kyle Schwarber, it is the Cubs, because like you mentioned, they still have Jorge Soler. They re-signed Dexter Fowler. So they've also got, as you mentioned, Zobrist, and Javier Baez has been playing the outfield. Obviously, he's still hurt, but when he comes off the disabled list, he'll be another option for Joe Maddon to use. And they've also got Joe Maddon, who's one of the best managers in baseball when it comes to managing a lineup and getting everyone playing time and and making sure everyone's good to go. So while it's obviously terrible that they lost Kyle Schwarber even before their own home opener, you know, it was really sad to see him walk out and take the field with everyone on crutches. But I can't think of another team that would be able to handle the loss of this type of player better than the Cubs.
Yeah, and a guy like Baez, they could shift a bunch of people around. Russell could go and either play short or second, and you can have Baez go in one of those other two spots, however Maddon feels they're best suited to play. That frees up Zobrist to go play the outfield where he's very comfortable. It's a position that he's played all the time. And then Maddon can rotate Zobrist, Soler, Fowler, Hayward, and as with four outfielders. The rotation ability that Maddon has to be able to move these guys around, keep them fresh, you know, get them rest, get more at-bats, I mean, it's huge. I mean, it's going to allow them to really sort of make their team more well-rounded because they have this ability to move guys around and really tinker with their lineup to give teams different looks every day and keep themselves healthy. Because that's, at this point, really the big thing is going forward is I don't know if they could afford another loss, another guy to go down for an extended period of time, because that would just make it even harder for them to move these pieces around. So, but as we both said, this is the team that's best equipped to deal with something like this because of the way their roster has been put together, and because they have so much time to sort of figure out what works best. They have the whole rest of the season to figure this out.
Yeah, and one thing that I wanted to say is that, and you may disagree with me specifically, and I'm sure a bunch of people that are listening or will be listening to this will, but for people to blame this injury on Kyle Schwarber was kind of ridiculous to me. You know, we've seen seasoned and veteran outfielders run into each other all the time. It's just something that happens in baseball. Yeah. Sure, you can argue, and I've argued, that Schwarber shouldn't be in the outfield, but there's really nowhere else to put him. It was too early to trade him just because his potential was so great. You know, you look at him and you could see a 40 homer season from him. I mean, he hit 16 in 69 games last year, and he's got such a smooth swing. It's short to the ball, and he gets such power from it. But to suggest that this is all on Schwarber and, you know, his lack of experience in the outfield caused this injury is overstepping for me.
Yeah, he's a player just trying to make a play out there. And I don't, you know, we can play this what if game. What if he's not in the outfield? Does he get hurt? Probably not, but that doesn't mean he doesn't get hurt behind the plate or hurt wherever else they try to play him. You know, these things happen. This is baseball.
Or just walking down a staircase.
Right. I mean, he could have done this in the clubhouse, right? I mean, walking, running out to do warm-ups or something, you slip and, you know, you tear your
knee. Like Will Smith.
Yeah. Not the actor, the Brewers reliever. I just want to make that clear. Yeah. People may confuse the Brewers reliever and the actor, musician, Will Smith. I don't know. I would have been confused. But yeah, so I mean, these things happen. These are accidents, and this could have very easily happened off the field, on the field. It could have happened in spring training. You know, I mean, these are types of things that could have happened at any time. So to put the blame on Schwarber or the Cubs for putting him in that position, I think is a little too much. If we want to have a larger conversation about whether Schwarber should have been in the outfield because of, you know, his ability and the stats behind it, that's one thing. But to say that because he was out there, this got him hurt, I think is a little too far for me. While the Cubs are equipped to handle this injury, a team that is not equipped to handle the injuries are the Texas Rangers. And Matt, they have two big ones, and one of them I think is able to be solved, and another one I don't think is able to be solved.
Yeah, and I think the one that you're saying can be solved, I would say it's already been solved with Nomar Mazara.
Oh no, I was going the other way.
Oh really? Okay.
I think they're going to be able to solve Robinson Chirinos being out 8 to 12 weeks because I think they're going to trade for Luke right now.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I guess I would say that I guess we just disagreed a little bit in the wording. So I don't think losing Sin Shu Chu is, at least, you know, for, I can't remember how long, what, like a month or two?
Yeah, he's out. I think it's like 12 days or something like that.
12 weeks?
12 weeks, I think.
Okay, 12 days, that would have been,
Let me find the tweet. You keep talking.
But for however long that that Chu is out for, Mazzara was one of their top prospects. I don't know if he was listed above Joey Gallo on Baseball America's top 10 or Baseball Prospectus or whoever has a top 10, but I'm much more confident in Mazzara's ability to produce at the major league level than Joey Gallo, just because he doesn't strike out as much. He's got way better contact rates. He seems to be a more put together hitter than Gallo. And for the catching position, I definitely agree. They're going to have to go out and make a trade. Brian Holiday is their backup catcher. I think they turned to someone else yesterday. Last name Mitchell. I'm looking it up right now.
To fact check, it's 4 to 6 weeks for Chu.
Okay.
Okay. And their highest rated catching prospect, just to put it in perspective of how desperate this need is number 22 in their system. It's Jose Trevino. And he's in high A ball. So he's not anywhere close to being ready.
Okay. Yeah. And their other catcher is named Brett Nichols, who's now the backup to Holiday.
Holiday, they acquired from the Tigers really late into spring as their backup. And it looks like he's going to get the job, get the gig for now. I think this is just all gearing up for them to trade with the Brewers.
Or the Padres.
They could go to the Padres.
I think Lucroy might still be a little too expensive. Not necessarily in a broad sense, but just for the Rangers, since they traded so many players away to get Cole Hamels.
Sure. They may have to move Gallo in one of these deals. I think it may have to be necessary. Because I'm not sure because this is a team that I think can compete for the second wild card and even threaten the Astros in the division. And they can't afford to be losing games and being without a regular everyday catcher. So to maybe not have to wait so long to play this back and forth with another team, they may just have to sweeten the pot and make Gallo the centerpiece and go out and get a Lucroy or a Ross or a Norris, excuse me. I think that may be their best bet. But Lucroy has made sense this whole time. I mean, they've been linked to Lucroy. The two teams seem to want to work together. They seem eager to make a deal. So I think if talks were to get back going and these two teams began to talk again, that a fit could be made and a trade could be made so that the Rangers are with a catcher for the rest of the year. And choose out 4 to 6 weeks. So not an immediate need to get somebody because they have Nomar Mazzara, who in his debut went 3 for 4 with a home run. So talk about good stories. That's a good one, making your debut and doing that well. So this kid can probably play for those 4 to 6 weeks without, and then when Chu gets back, they can figure out what to do with him from there. But yeah, I think the catching need is probably the one that they're going to need to fix right away. Lucroy seems to be the guy. Do you disagree? Agree?
No, I don't think Stearns is gonna, the GM of the Brewers, I don't think Stearns is going to reflexively take a deal. Obviously, he's got more leverage with the Rangers now since Trinas could be out for as long as 3 months. But since Lucroy signed technically through 2017 with that team option, if he doesn't like the deal that he gets offered from the Rangers, assuming they offer one, he's not gonna be forced to give one up to agree to a trade just to capitalize on Lucroy's value. He's still got until the trade deadline. Teams are always looking for offensive-minded catchers, which Lucroy is, and assuming he has a bounce back season from his framing statistics, he'll be top the leaderboards at the end of 2016. So he's an all-around great catcher. And I think Stearns can probably I definitely think get a better deal, get 3 to 4 high impact guys for Lucroy since he's got that extra year of control.
And with time on his side, he's in no rush, but the Rangers may have to do a little bit more and give up maybe a little bit more than they're willing to if they wanted to get Lucroy. But so it'll be interesting because I think they're going to have to make a move sooner rather than later in order to keep themselves in contention. So it will be interesting. Anything we missed?
I don't think so.
We hit everything, I think.
Let me do one quick check.
Do a quick check. Because, you know, there could always be something on Twitter. There always could be something.
I think we hit everything.
I think we hit all the news that we needed to hit, which is surprising. We always seem to probably miss something, but we did good this week. So, good. Oh, all right. Let me tease this Sunday's episode, because we're going to record this Sunday, and the episode will be out on Monday, probably. Yeah, Monday. And we are going to do our predictions episode. And now, if there's any major news that happens between now and Sunday, obviously we will cover that. But if not, me and Matt are going to get on here, and we're going to break down and predict. You know, now that we're a week in, we're going to give our projections for who we think is going to win the division, who we think is going to win the wild card, awards, stuff like that, and who we have winning the World Series and stuff. I know I posted mine on Twitter, but I can I'll do a little bit more elaboration during then, so I can explain some of my picks, because my World Series is an interesting one. Matt, I don't know if you caught that tweet of mine.
I did not. You can tell me once we're done recording.
I will tell you when we're done recording who I have in the World Series. And I did this before the season. So a week in, this may look stupid, but the tweet is before the season. I have the stamp to prove it. So, yeah. So I will tell you guys, I'll tell you that off air. But, yeah, so that's what we're going to do this Sunday. So it should be good. We'll probably reach out and ask you guys for some of your projections as well. Get some of your thoughts on this stuff as well. So thanks for hanging out. And like I said earlier, to make sure you know when these episodes come out, subscribe to us on iTunes and search The Roster Rhetorical, and we're right there, and leave a rating while you're there, and share this with your friends. We're one big community here, and it's great when everyone gets involved and we can all talk baseball together. So, all right, Matt, it was a pleasure as always, and we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.